Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line my big sister, Sheila G. You there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? And Dr. G., still under the weather?
Well, the cold trying to hang on, but we're here.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad to have you guys on the line tonight. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man.
All right. We are getting close to the end of the book of Matthew. I think we've been studying the book of Matthew for the last 2.5 years. And we get to the 26th chapter, and we're starting off in a chapter that coincides with this time of year, the time of, they call it Lenten season, and time of betrayal, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you learn a lot in this book of Matthew about Jesus being the king and how he was the promised Messiah that was told in the Old Testament by all the prophets that will be the one to deliver God's people. And here we see him coming to the end of his earthly ministry. And it's interesting that the Son of God loved us so much that he was willing to come in the flesh and to live a life full of scorn and temptation and pain and struggle in order to deliver us from it. And here in the end of his earthly ministry, he is going to be betrayed by those that are supposed to be looking for him to come save him, which is an interesting twist, Sheila G, that the folks you're coming to save are the ones that are going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again.
Amen.
The ones you're coming to save are the ones that are going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put it in any plainer terms than that, that's some show enough love. To be able to love someone in spite of them participating in a role that is going to cause you pain, going to cause you cost you your life. And I'm going to venture to say, Sheila G and Dr. G, that type of ministry is still prevalent today. That those that people minister to many times are the ones that are the most vile towards you. The ones you're trying to help, the ones you're trying to do something for are the ones that are quickly turn on you. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen, because they have their own agenda. You know, as you were talking, speaking of that, I actually thought about even a parent-child relationship that when you're trying to help your children or trying to lead, guide them, and you're making sacrifices to help them, but they don't appreciate it, and then they turn and go against the, you know, the rules of the house or anything like that until they get older, and they're like, oh, you were trying to help me. But they, because they want to do their own thing, they see it as punishment, not realizing that the parent is showing them love and compassion, trying to save them from themselves. And that's the same thing that happens, you know, initially I thought about the parent-child relationship, but the same thing in the church, when you're leadership in the church, and well as the lay person in the church, where, you know, that's why the word says you have to preach in season and out of season, because God knows that be things that you're going to have to dwell on as far as telling people how to behave and not to behave, that's going to go against the grain of what they want to do. So, you know, that's when you hear the whole, well, you were talking about me from the pulpit, or you stepping on my toes, or you're in my all in my business and don't know the true deal. And, you know, people constantly making excuses. And as leadership, we can't allow people, we can't compromise. And because you don't compromise, you're trying to show them love, but by the same token, they're pushing back, because at the end of the day, just like the children, everybody has their own agenda.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Oh, yeah. Been there, lived through it, done it. And it's it's interesting how, you know, as the pastors, the leaders, and God puts us in these positions to lead, preach, teach. And, you know, we're trying to do what's right before the Lord. But as Sheila G said, you know, you get all types of people with their own agenda. And what kills me, they want to tell you what's, thus saith the Lord. I mean, I've heard so much. I've seen it in, what, these 20-some-odd years of pastoring. And it's amazing how the folks that you're leading try to tell you as the leader what to do, what they're not going to do, and try to change the rules as they should. So, you know, I do understand what Christ went through.
Amen.
Amen. And it's interesting to see that the people that it's almost like a bipolar thing here, where he's when he first made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, everybody was saying Hosanna, and they were putting branches in front and save now, and he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, because in their understanding, he was come to deliver them from the Roman oppression. They were allowed to practice their religion under the Roman Caesar oppression. And they thought that Jesus was coming to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans, and that, you know, they were looking for this immediate, you know, change. But Jesus came to deal with their heart. And as he began to start preaching that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is this, You know, in other words, you got to be right with God, not, you know, worry about me getting rid of the Roman oppression. And so the folks that said, you know, Hosanna on Sunday morning, on Thursday evening, we're talking about crucify. And it's like a bipolar thing. It's like you went from one degree to the other.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, Sheila G, that lets you know what their motives are. And in ministry, if you hang around folks long enough, if you deal with people long enough in ministry and any type of relationship, the true colors will come out.
Yeah.
Folk can fake the funk for a little while,
right,
but sooner
right.
or later, it's going to start stinking.
Yeah.
and Jesus was going to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and the way that it was going to be done was that he was going to kiss Jesus in order like a cover-up to say, oh, I love you, I'm going to greet you, with all these Jewish thugs, amen, that were going to take his life.
Right.
And it just goes to show you that we live in a world, amen, that is corrupt, that is evil, that will smile in your face and stab you in your back.
Amen.
But in spite of that, God says that we should continue to go and continue to preach and teach the gospel. And he said that he would be with us always, even until the end of the world. And he said that in the end of this book. And it's not easy, and so we have to learn to rely on God to be able to minister to those who not very lovely at the time. So let's look at Matthew 26, and we want to look at verse 14. And this is where the plot came for Judas to betray Jesus. And the reason why Judas betrayed Jesus is because, again, he wanted Jesus to turn this thing around according to the way the man thought. And we all know that God's ways are not our ways, and his time is not our time, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so he had to deal with people's hearts and you know, not the oppression of the government. So he had to deal with the problem of sin, not the problem of the physical slavery, the slavery to sin, and not just the slavery to man. So it was a spiritual condition that he came to deal with. And they wanted him to hurry up and deal with it so they could, you know, flaunt their hand at the Roman oppression. But when Jesus started telling them that they needed to get their act together, it was a whole different story. So here we see in chapter 26, verse 14, it says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priest. There's always a plot, some kind of way. There's a plot to get rid of the shepherd.
Yeah.
There's always a plot. It's always either underlying or overt, or there's always some kind of way to get rid of the shepherd, to do something to the shepherd, whether people realize they play into the hand of the enemy. But Satan has a plan to get rid of the shepherd, because if you get rid of the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And so the church needs to understand that, Sheila G, is that you should always pray for your shepherd, whether you agree with him or not, whether you understand or not, and understand that Satan will use anything or anybody to try to get at the shepherd, because if you get at the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And so that's one of the lessons that the church really needs to hold on to, is that you need to pray for your shepherd. You need to be on guard. You need to fight spiritual warfare, because Satan's number one tactic is to get rid of the shepherd. And so here we see Judas Iscariot playing into Satan's hand to get rid of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. Sheila G?
Amen. Amen. That's very true. And that's why you were always talking about how, and I've seen it so many times, when people will say one thing, and then if one person is disgruntled, when they get home, they get on the phone, start calling each other, and then calling somebody else and calling somebody else, And then the next thing, they want to have a quote-unquote meeting with the pastor. And it's not even a meeting, like you said, of going into prayer and seeing what the Lord wants, but it's more to push through their agenda, not realizing that their arms are too short to box with God. And it's that pastor, that leadership, stays focused on Jesus. No matter what that attack is, they will always lose. But I've seen that not just in, you know, in New Birth, but I've seen it in other churches where people are calling and then calling and everybody's going to phone a bandwagon. Then all of a sudden they're going to have this big old pastor bashing session and it never works. Not for a true spiritual leader, because God will end up fighting that battle and they will either turn around and get right or they'll leave.
And Dr. G, that is, I down through the years and from the beginning of time, is Satan's, that's his trump card. That's how he attacks the church, is to look for people that will be, it only takes one, that will be yielding to his attack for their emotions to say, well, he's not doing it fast enough, or he's not doing this, or one issue is going on in the church, or one thing that the pastor will, the shepherd will say, or one thing that it will do. And then because of that, it's like, you know, throw the whole ministry in a tizzy because someone got emotional about one thing that was said or one thing that was done, discounting all of the years that the shepherd has labored to minister to the flock. And like I said, Jesus, you know, he ministered for 3.5 years earthly ministry, and all the things, the miracles that he did, the healings that he did, the teachings that he did, the word, the kindness, and all these things. And in spite of all these things, because one person got emotional, got in their feelings, they're ready to fall into the hands of Satan and take out the shepherd. Dr. G.
And it goes back to what you said before as far as not praying first. It's like you're jumping in your feelings. And if you pray first, then God will lead you as to whether you should say something, be quiet, or sit and watch. Or if you pray for it, then God will say if it is something that needs to be taught, the pastor needs to be corrected or needs to see or need, because he's a human being as well, God will tell you how to do it. And if you know God is telling you, approach that pastor and present that, you don't have to get on the phone and call 100 people to back you up, because God backed you up at that point.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on it?
Oh, yeah. Because I have literally had to live through all of that. And, you know, I thank God that as the leader, as the pastor, you know, God will also give the pastor, he'll give him the time when to just shut up. He'll also give him the time when it's time to speak. And I'm going to tell you what, it takes a lot of patience, definitely a lot of love for the church and the Lord to put up with the foolishness of individuals in the church, and especially officers. You know, because they're an officer, they think they can come at the pastor any kind of way, and as you all have already said, out of your emotions. And no, they don't think about it, don't pray about it, because they're upset. They will just let it all come out. And I've had it happen to me on a number of occasions. And each time, rather than lash back at them, Lord just kept my tongue, and I closed out in prayer and went on about my business. And the Lord dealt with them, and that's the way you have to deal with that kind of situation.
Amen.
Because if you go toe-to-toe, you let your emotions take over, then you that battle, and you've already lost it because you've given in to what the devil wants you to do.
Right.
And you have to understand it is a spiritual battle. And that's the way the enemy will use other people within the church. They can be officers, laypeople, it doesn't matter, to get at the pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it was just one of the disciples. And let's go to verse 15, Matthew 26:15. And he said, unto them, what will you give me? Hmm. And I will deliver him unto you, coveting it with him for 30 pieces of silver. And so that's, like you said, Sheila G., is the selfish motive that many times will come for people will plot and scheme for what they want. It might be a vision of the leader, like a vision of God sending his son to deal with his people, and people will want to circumvent the vision in order to put forward their vision. And that's not how God works. But people will get together, and whatever the leader says, this is the vision, they will covenant together, and they will come against the vision. And here we see Judas has spent that time with Jesus. Jesus very clearly showed him the miracles, showed him the things of God, taught them about the things of God, and he was hell-bent on doing things his way and bringing anybody who would listen. And that's the thing about people that let's say birds of a feather flock together. And you'll get the committee to defeat the leader or defeat the shepherd.
Right.
And then they'll take up and they'll covenant together to bring forth their preconceived notion of how they think, you know, ministry should be run.
Amen. And you know, as I'm reading that, as you're reading that scripture, and you think about the 30 pieces, he did all this for 30 pieces of silver after seeing all those miracles, the thought came to my mind, and I thought about this before, how we as human beings will sometimes get a short-term, go in and get short-term gain and end up with long-term pain. And that's because we don't have vision to see beyond that short-sightedness. So his short-sightedness here is like, okay, he wants this short-term gain. One, he gets back at Jesus. Two, he gets 30 pieces of silver. But then in the long run, he ends up killing himself. So again, it's that short-term gain that caused long-term pain.
Yeah. And it's this whole thing of he went to the chief. He went to the enemy, and he made a bargain with the enemy. And so I think we have to understand that temptation will always be there, but yielding to the temptation is the sin.
Right.
And so, you know, that Satan will be sitting on the sideline knowing he can't have so much power, but he can utilize people to create the yielding to the temptation, which perpetrates the sin. In other words, he can't make you sin, but he can tempt you, and then the temptation leading to sin. That song says, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." And so when you understand that he was tempted and he went to the enemy and he made the bargain. And so we always have to ask, all of us have to ask ourselves, am I yielding to the temptation or am I playing into the hand of the enemy? A lot of times people don't like to hear that. But sometimes we, like you said, Sheila G, with that short-term gain ends up long-term pain. And a lot of times we will get ourselves into a situation where we can't get out of. And this is the case of Judas Iscariot. He got into this temptation because it wasn't going his way. Jesus wasn't moving fast enough. He wasn't dealing with the Romans. He wasn't dealing with these people. And he had an idea of how it should be done. And so he went and made a deal with the enemy. And that short-term gain turned into a long-term pain. And he didn't understand that Jesus was actually carrying out the will of the Father. And a lot of times, it's not going to happen overnight. Sometimes it takes time. It takes time. God has his plan, and Jesus understood that God was dealing with people's hearts at this time, their physical,
right.
their spiritual condition, not so much their physical condition. Dr. G, you want to holler at that?
Well, you're right. And the sad thing about it is that, you know, the none of the disciples really, I don't think, understood what Christ's real mission was until after he had gone to the cross, suffered, bled, and died, and then gotten up from the grave. But Judas must have been really upset to act on it, plot it, and then for him to actually go to the chief priests and the elders and all this to concoct this plan and to follow it through in the way that he did. I mean, he must have really been upset. And as you said, you know, that's the way the enemy works. And we have to be mindful of that. And as you said, not to give in to the temptation of it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to verse 16. In verse 16 it says, "And from that time he saw opportunity to betray him." And it's like once you get caught up in that thing, it's sort of like once you get caught up in that storm, you can't get out. And what happens is, I believe it was I forget what book of the Bible says where you turn to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means that you can't no longer see anymore. In other words, you can no longer see. It's sort of like when Pharaoh, God hardened his heart where he could no longer do right anymore. And because he wouldn't do right, God says, okay, this is your lot, and we're going to cast this lot, and this is the way you're going to be. And so Judas had gotten to a point of no return, and he couldn't see how to do the right thing. And a lot of times you see people that harden their heart, and you can tell them the sky's blue, but because they had made up in their mind that they're going to do things their way, they can no longer see that the sky is blue. And I see so many people who have started out and for what you can see, they've been saved, or they profess with their mouth that they've been saved. But then some kind of way they get caught up in a deception of Satan.
Right.
And the deception, I don't know what it is. Sometimes they get caught up in what somebody said, what somebody did, or what they think. And they just get set in a way of, well, they will no longer do what thus said the Lord, but they're going to do what they think they're right and what they're doing. And so he's looking for opportunities now to betray Jesus, because he has bought into this thing that he actually thinks that he's doing the right thing. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen. And a lot of times what you said, the way that people's vision gets blocked is because once they've stepped in it, it's like, well, there's no turning back now. You know, people tend to think, well, I messed up. So what happens is they continue in that behavior to justify their initial mistake. Because in their mindset, it's like, oh, I messed up now. Well, I may as well go all in and keep it going. Because he's had opportunity not to. But that's how, when you relate it to today, that's what happened. I mean, we see that in our own president. You know, it's like you step in. Instead of pulling back and say, oh, let me readjust, let me fix this up.
Right.
I'm all in now, so I'm just going to keep making a mess and making a mess and making a mess, and it snowballs. And it's almost like people do that to justify their initial shortcoming. So it's almost like, I'm in it now. And so he just kept pushing and pursuing it and pursuing it to justify his initial act of wrongdoing.
Amen, and it's a sad thing because, again, that's the trap of the enemy. The trap of the enemy will tell you that there is no forgiveness. You can't get out of this.
Right.
But at any time, he could have repented and said, I can't go through with this because this is not of God, and left it alone. But he got hard. He got hardened and blinded by the enemy, and you see it so many times with people, like you said, with our leaders, secular and in the church, people all the time they'll get stuck on stupid,
right?
And it's like the whole record where you just go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said, instead of trying to readjust, revamp, realize, oops, you know what, this isn't working, let me try a different way, they just keep pursuing it and keep pursuing and digging in wrong, because I guess they don't want to admit that they were wrong and just start do it, you know, rewind, let me fix this and do it right.
It's that pride.
Pride, yeah. At the
pride,
end of the day. That's
pride, exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
They don't, you know, they once they start along in that way, their pride keeps them from saying, oh,
true.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I done messed up.
Yeah.
Let me pull back, get it right. That pride keeps them going
yeah.
and going, and then they keep going until it's too late.
Right. Yep.
Hey, man, I think you all hit it right on the head. You have to be humble in order to carry out
right.
the will of God. You have to be humble. You have to always be willing to look at the man in the mirror. Always
yeah.
be willing to take the beam out of your eye before you go into take a speck out of somebody else's eye to realize that any of us are susceptible to temptation. If you
yeah.
are in this world, you live in this flesh, the enemy is going to try to tempt you every day. Every day he's going to try to bring something your way to cause you to go in the direction of unrighteous. But that's why you have to stay prayed up. That's why you have to
mm-hmm.
stay in the Word. That's why you have to stay in fellowship and worship. That's why you always have to be conscious that Jesus is the one that came and lived this life successfully in the flesh. And if he came and he lived this life, this earthly existence successfully in the flesh without sin, that he is our model, that he is
Amen.
Our go-to. And if we want to make it through successfully, that we have to model after him. And the enemy will throw everything. He'll throw people in your way. He'll throw things in your way. He'll throw money, cars, men, women, sex, drugs, whatever. He'll throw this in your way to say, hey, this way will be easier. It'll make you feel good. It'll get you
mm-hmm.
what you want. But I guarantee you, if you go with what you want with Satan, it'll never be what you need. And
no.
so
when
you go God's way, the
mm-hmm.
way of Christ, he'll always provide you what you need. And just like
That's
with
me.
That temptation, he says with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape. And so
right.
whenever that temptation, we always have to look for the exit, look for the door.
That's right.
to be able to get out of that. And
yeah.
and that comes through studying the Word. That comes through getting into the Word. And sadly, Dr. G., that is one of the challenges of the church is that we don't like to get into the Word. We don't like to take time out to get into the Word. We don't like to take time out to see how to apply the Word to our lives. We think we can go and do it on our own and face up to Satan without being equipped with the Word. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." But yet and still, we think we can take all that fire in our bosom. We think we can hang out with these people, do this, do that, and think that we will never be led to fall into temptation. But that's a mean and deadly trick of the enemy. It's like sin is crouching outside your door. The Word says he's waiting for you to come outside and jump all over you. And sometimes we have the best intentions. Even sometimes on Sunday morning, you had the best intention to go worship and praise God and let
That's
that
funny.
One thing happen. And next thing you know, you're acting a fool
yep.
because you've fallen into the temptation, the trap of the enemy. Dr. G?
You're right. And, you know, that's why, you know, we tell people all the time, you know, we've got to learn how to get out of our own emotions and understand that it's not about what we want or it's not about us. It's important for us that we do stay in that Word because we've got to daily crucify the flesh. We've got to grow
Amen.
In the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to understand that, okay, you know, we're in this sinful body. And because we are, the enemy knows how to kind of tick us off and get to that
mm-hmm.
edge
mm-hmm.
where we'll just flick off and say what we want, cuss folk out, do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody... You know, we talk about how much we love the Lord. You've got to put up or shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes
Amen.
That humility that, you know, you've been with the Lord. You understand that God is the answer to everything that we need.
Amen.
You've got to draw close to the Lord daily,
mm-hmm.
every day.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I share with folks. I tell them, look,
I'm still human, but it's a daily working to crucify my flesh and grow in the Lord. There are things I don't like, but I've learned how to put that mess in subjection so that when I go to work, I may not want to go to work, but I go to work, but I've got a positive mind that I'm going to go be what God wants me to be.
Amen.
So I keep a smile on my face. Everything has got to be positive around me. Now, there was a time, wasn't like that. But as I've grown, you know, I've gotten stronger in my faith. Now, would I want what I've gone through for anybody else? No. But that was my test. And I had to go through it and learn. So, you know, it's a daily learning and growing. I mean, the Bible teaches us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's an everyday occurrence. You can't let up for a minute, no matter how you feel about what the Lord wants for you.
That's
so you got to let him take complete control.
Amen.
Sheila G., you want to jump in on that?
No, I was just thinking of that same scripture about renewing your mind. And every day you have to renew your mind. That's the only way that you can crucify the devil every day and crucify that flesh in us every single day. It's constantly renewing that mind, studying that word. And it's also important to be around like-minded people.
Like-minded people.
You know, a lot of times we think we just isolate ourselves, just me, God, and the word. But God wants us, he doesn't want us to be isolated.
Amen.
He wants us to spread that joy in his word by communicating and congregating with each other. So a lot of times when your flesh is weak, being there with your fellow Christians can help you through. Because even when you look at this, Judas is by himself.
By himself.
Now, if he had been with other like-minded people, they would have been able to influence him and say,
you
know you don't want to do that. And then bring him back to, you know, it's nothing more talk about the miracles. Now, look, we've been with Jesus 3 years, and we've seen some crazy stuff. It's one of these crazy times where you just have to be patient, you know, and that's what you have to do. It's like when you're at that point, I got a call today from someone who said, look, I'm trying to be, I need you to talk with me, I need you to pray with me, because I'm trying to stay patient, my feelings are getting in the way. And that's what we have to do.
That's real. That's real,
recognize we're human, recognize that emotion, reach out and be with other Christians, other like-minded people that can help to calm you down.
Amen. Two or three
Amen. That is so true.
Amen.
That is so true. And it just lets us know that this is a real story. This is not just something that's in a book or on a computer. That this is real life stuff. And later on in this chapter, you'll see Jesus struggle in the flesh so much so that he had to go away and pray and talk to the Father in a real term, like, you know, this is some ugly stuff that I got to deal with.
Right.
You sure about this?
He said, there's a lot of stuff. And I always tell people at our church, I said, when he looked in that cup, he saw all the caisson stuff. I can't talk about nobody else's stuff, Sheila G. he looked in the cup and saw all my stuff. That's enough to keep anybody up in a way from having to go bear it. You know what I'm saying? And it's true, you know, if all of us look in the mirror, all of our stuff was in that cup that he talked about. Ain't no way in the world nobody want to deal with that. I'd have to go and pray until sweat ran down like blood and stuff. And still don't know if I would have been able to go to the cross.
Right.
but that just lets you know this is real. We come under the issues of living in this flesh. And that's just real. And, you know, we have to be humble enough to be real to think, hey, without God's help, I'm going to stumble every time. And so here... We pick up in verse 17 where, again, Jesus is focusing in on what his purpose was and what he was supposed to do. And that's the thing about living every day, like you said, Dr. G, is that in spite of the challenges, you still have to carry out what God's plan is for you. You just can't get sidetracked and mm-hmm. throw in a towel, but you have to continue to say, God, you know, let your will be done, and I'm going to stay on the grind, you know, in spite of Jesus knowing that these folks, that said Hosanna mm-hmm. on Sunday was going to be looking for his life on Friday. And in spite of that, in ministry, in spite of folks, and that's what I tell a lot of preachers, young preachers, and that, you know, you can't get in this thing to be a popularity contest, and everybody not going to like you. The only
right.
one that you need to please, amen, is to make sure you please the Lord.
That's right.
It's going to be funny. Folk not going to like you. Folk going to talk about you, your family, and everything else. Call you everything
amen.
But a child of God. But
amen.
That doesn't negate the fact that you've been called by God to preach what thus said the Lord, and that's not a popular position. So don't
amen.
Get into ministry to be popular.
That's right.
Get into you're called into ministry to be obedient to what God's wanted you to do, and this is what Jesus is doing. In spite of knowing how these folks are going to act, he still went forward. So in verse 17, he said, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And so observing the Passover was the first covenant that
mm-hmm.
was made with the blood of goats and lambs that Moses instituted. And so every year God's people would get together and they would observe this feast to be obedient to God, that they would observe what they call the Passover, because as the 10th plague went out over Egypt, because they had taken the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel, the top part of the door, when the death angel came, he passed over, and they
That's
were covered
right.
In that covenant, in that blood. And so
mm-hmm.
that was the foreshadow of Jesus being the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that would shed his blood. And
right.
He would do that one time and sit down. But until then, from that point with Moses until this point with Jesus, they had observed the Passover every year. And so this is a place where Jesus said, you know, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to observe the Passover for the last time with my disciples. And then I'm going to actually become the Passover lamb for
right.
the sins of the world. And again, in spite of what's going on in your life, whether you're sick, whether you're tired, whether you feel beat up, you still, as a minister, as a servant of the Lord, you still got to go on. Whether people
right.
like you, whether folk agree with what you're saying,
right.
we still have to minister. We still have to show up and do what thus said the Lord, because it's his program that ultimately will redeem people, will help people become saved. And it's not an easy task. It's not an easy journey. God never said it was going to be easy, but he said he would be with us. You know, we have to take our instructions from God, look at his example, and say, all these folk going to yell and scream that they love me, but at the end of the day, they hate me, so I can't get an attitude. I can't get mad. I can't say, to heck with y'all. I'm going back to be with my Father. But I have to carry out, in spite of all this mess, amen?
Amen.
In spite of all the haters, in spite of all the shortcomings in my physical body, my spiritual life, all these things, I still have to stand up and still push my way into doing what God would have me to do. Sheila
Amen.
G.
Amen. And that's how we have to live every single day. And I think too often we want to please people and we want to feel good all the time, but not realizing that the closer you draw to Christ, feeling good is not about your emotions.
Nope.
Feeling good is about having peace with the Lord,
Hello.
Knowing that you are drawn close to him, that he will be a fence all around you, that he can lead, guide, direct your path, and that he can put things in place, even though that
mm-hmm.
you don't have to stand, because you don't have a need in the world, and you have that confidence in him that he's going to take care of it. So he just puts that peace in you so you can truly have peace in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
Amen. And Dr. G, I know there's been many days and Sunday mornings where the flesh told you to heck with them.
Hello.
I'm just being real.
Yeah, keep it real.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
And you went to the spiritual, and you got up and did what you had to do in obedience to God. But you know, you're in the flesh, and here we see Jesus in verse 18, and he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And so here Jesus is putting others before him, and he is being obedient to God to carry out God's plan. And as a pastor, I know there's many times where you put others before you, others
yep.
before your family, to carry out what God would have you to do. And, you know, it's the same story. Back then, there's nothing new under the sun. This is what's required of leadership. This is what's required of us as followers of Christ, is
That's
to
right.
Carry out, pick up our cross, and
mm-hmm.
follow him daily. Dr. G?
Well, you're right. And so many times, you know, you get to the point when you've given and you've done all that you think you can, and you're ready to just say, you know, forget this. It's just not worth it. You know, you preach, you teach, you try to encourage people, but everyone seems to be, they want to do their own thing. And you have to really depend on the Lord. The Lord has to, you know, he'll let you go through to a point where once he gets your attention, then you can say, all right, I understand now. And once the Lord gets your attention, it really doesn't matter what you may have to go through. It doesn't matter what it looked like on Sunday. Doesn't matter what it looked like on prayer meetings or anything else. God will bless your faithfulness. But
Amen.
You have to stay your course. Just like when Abraham was getting ready to offer up his son, you have to stay the course. Sometimes God's ways just don't make
sense.
And, you know, you've given... Giving and just don't look like it's being fruitful. We don't understand how God works. But if you just stay the course, God will. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the
Amen.
End of the world." He will reward
Amen.
And bless your faithfulness.
That's right.
Now, he doesn't say when, but he says you got to wait on.
That's right.
And sometimes waiting can be the hardest thing in the world.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sheila G?
You know, when you talk about that, when he's talking about blessing your faithfulness, it actually made me think back to when I was pregnant with Jessica, and we had the option to keep not to keep her. And we prayed about it, and God's like, "I got you." And not knowing what the end was going to be, and having to carry that baby for 9 months, knowing that something was wrong, but I had the option to either be about it or mope and cry for the last 9 months. And I just gave it all to God, and I just had faith that whatever it is, my prayer wasn't so much heal her as it was, God, give me and her the strength and the capability to do what we need to do to take care of your child. And through that faith, now it's 19 years later, we see how he blessed us. But it wasn't based on how we It was completely based off of trusting God and not knowing. That's called pure blind faith.
Amen.
Trust.
Amen.
And it wasn't easy.
No,
but,
it wasn't.
But
no.
It hasn't been easy.
Nope.
But, you know, whenever it gets to that point, even Jessica recognizes when she gets some things that's like, okay, God's getting my attention. Okay, Lord, you got me. You're going to handle this.
And I want to touch on one more verse. When leaders follow Christ and they're obedient, what happens is the disciples will have an example And those that
right.
really want to be examples, they will follow also. And so when you look at verse 19, it says, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And so in spite of all the ones that are going to go do their thing, God always has somebody.
Right.
Amen. That's going to be obedient to God and that's going to follow the right thing. And that's why it's always important for the shepherd to lead a good example, because
right.
There's always someone going to follow. And
right.
you know, like you were saying earlier, Dr. G, you know, where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. And so
mm-hmm.
here we see that in spite of all that Jesus was going through, in spite of all that the challenge he had, there's going to be some folk that are going to continue with this gospel. And that's
right.
what gets me excited, is that
yeah.
this word came down through 42 generations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even come down to the year of our Lord, 2018, where people
mm-hmm.
are still preaching and teaching the gospel in spite of what
right.
Satan tried to throw in the way or what he tried to do. There's always going to mm-hmm. be a remnant of people that are going to be obedient followers of God. And in verse 19, the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. Now, if we can get a church full of folk to do as Jesus had appointed them, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, we
wow.
can really turn this world upside down. I know the original Christians, they were so powerful that they were coming to the cities, and they said, these are they that have turned the world upside down. Because
mm-hmm.
they, disciples, did as Jesus appointed them. If we could just
right.
take that one part of that verse, Sheila G., and
Amen.
Have the disciples do as Jesus had appointed them, not as man had, not as whatever, whoever said,
right.
as Jesus had appointed, to get into that personal relationship with Jesus and do what he has appointed them to do. And
Amen.
And they made ready the Passover. They carried out the will of God. They carried out what God had left on record for them to do. And that is
Amen.
An awesome thing to see people catch a hold and do what thus said the Lord. That is a blessing, and that actually encourages the shepherd when you see people
uh-huh.
actually walking and following in
uh-huh.
The things of God. And you know,
right.
that gives the shepherd that hope that if just one person will do the will of God, then it's been worth it. In the end, Sheila G.
Amen, amen. That's the truth. Just one, then it'll catch on to two or three. But you know, Pastor and I were just talking about that this week. You know how we say that sometimes you have the faithful few, but the thing is,
mm-hmm.
is they are faithful.
That's right.
And it's better to have a
faithful few
than a whole bunch
mm-hmm.
of just people that are half stepping.
That's right.
And that's what gives the church strength. That's what gives the church power. Is the faithful that are willing to follow God regardless of what they see or don't see.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I was just sitting here thinking because you're absolutely right. I mean, I think back, I mean, because I know we're getting ready to celebrate our anniversary, 55 years for the church, the 23
Amen.
Years I've been there. I've been to hell and back a number of times.
Amen. Amen.
Just getting to the point now. And the thing is, I don't mind sharing that with people because I'm not ashamed
mm-hmm.
of what I had to go through to get to this point.
Amen.
And
mm-hmm.
now, you know, the church is a place where people can feel good, feel love when they walk into
mm-hmm.
the place. I mean, there was a time you'd walk in the new birth, you had to put your battle
mm-hmm.
shoes on and be ready to fight when you walk through the doors. But I was determined, nah, this has got to stop. You know,
mm-hmm.
fussing, fighting, complaining about it. Didn't matter.
Mm-mm.
This one did that.
Amen.
They were jealous. And the Lord either removed them
yeah. or they passed
mm-hmm.
away.
Or they passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
He spoke. I mean, and you know, you're always going to have your ups and downs. People are still going to get mad,
yeah, that's true.
Talk about you,
mm-hmm.
leave the church, or whatever, and it's always going to be the pastor's fault. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm used to
there
that.
You go.
But he's told me now that I can pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I can put
Amen.
In what I want.
That's right.
I mean, we just had a church meeting a few Sundays ago, and I close out. And I tell them that, look, this church is going to always be a church of love. Mm-hmm. We're not having any fussing, no fighting. It's going to be a church where we all get along together. We're going to do it together.
Amen.
And if we're not going to do it together, it's not going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And no one complained or said anything negative.
Amen.
Everybody said amen.
Amen.
I mean, you get to a point where you just got to do that.
Right.
But only the Lord can give you the strength to do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because along that journey, there were times, one time I did turn in my resignation and went on vacation, got a call, had to come back and bury one of the individuals that was
Lord
raising all this.
Yeah.
So
Lord
if you stay faithful, God will take, when he says, I got your back,
he
means just that.
Amen.
Because his purpose is for the church to be what he wants it to be.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've utilized our time tonight. But that verse 19 is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them.
Amen.
Oh, for a church of people of God.
That's a message.
That will do as Jesus has appointed them. That would eliminate so much confusion.
Amen.
If people would do as Jesus had appointed them. Not someone else's, but what the Lord has appointed them. And if everybody would get in that relationship with God and stay in their lane, we would be able to reach more folk for the Lord. Well, Sheila G, I think we want to do it for tonight. We'll have to get some callers next. We'll pick up on it next Sunday and get some callers on this. But if you can give us your final thoughts and close us out in prayer, Sheila G.
Amen. Well, I think two things really powerful came out of this lesson. And one of them is that, we have to avoid the temptation. When we're tempted, we need to withdraw from it. But because we're human beings, if we fall into it, there's nothing that says that we have to keep pursuing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. At any point, we can turn our lives around, swallow that pride, and say the Lord. And the other one is just the last one, which is we have to do what Jesus wants us to do.
Amen.
In season,
amen,
out of season, whether we feel like it or whether we don't feel like it. That way we have to avoid trying to get that short-term gain and end up with long-term pain.
Amen.
Just what Jesus says for us to do. If you mess up, don't let your pride continue to go down that path.
Amen.
Stop,
amen,
recognize, reboot, and God will bless each and every one of us. But at the end of the day, if we just do as he appoints us to, we will all be,
amen,
blessed. We can share that amongst others and help others to do the same. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to study your word, Lord. I pray that we will take this word and hide it within our hearts, and not only apply it to ourselves, but share it amongst others, Lord, letting them know that we do what you appoint us to do and do it your way and move our way out of the way, Lord, that you will truly bless each and every one of us. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those that are on the call. We ask that you will bless each and every one of them. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.